What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you could find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.
The event that we are talking about is Upanayanam, which means taking one to something or someone. This is a rite of passage in the young man's life, usually between 8 and 16 years of life. Ideally, this ceremony is done in 2 days. This ceremony actually is like a second birth. He is made into a twice born. So the first birth is from the womb of his mother, and the second birth is actually given the mantra from the father, so it is the second birth that comes to this boy. Hinduism strongly believes there is a spark of divinity within each one of us. This is a wonderful sacrament in his spiritual advancement.
That's Dr. Shiva Subramania speaking on a recent PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly program about Upanayanam, a rite of passage for Hindu boys. He is founder of the Sri Shiva Vishnu Temple. What is this? Sounds a little bit like maybe Christian baptism, rebirth, a second birth, he says. He even called it a sacrament. Joining us to talk about this Hindu practice of Upanayanam, Dr. Victor Raj. He's Mission Professor of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and author of the book, The Hindu Connection, Roots of the New Age. Dr. Raj, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, such a joy to be back with you, brother.
In general terms, what role does the concept of rebirth, or as we heard there, second birth, how does that fit into the Hindu worldview?
It's a very challenging question because we are comparing apples and oranges. If that's the case, it's even worse. Hinduism and Buddhism and non-Judeo-Christian religions are all practically cyclical. There is no beginning. There is no end. In simple terms, what goes around comes around. But there is something that is called eternal. That is the soul. The cosmos, the universe has a soul, which they call Brahman. Brahmin is a human being, but Brahman is the ultimate soul of the whole cosmos. And that is eternal in our Western and especially Christian terms, Christian category. That's eternal. It has no beginning, it has no end, it does not destroy. Individuals are individual souls, which in Sanskrit is called Atman. Atman is, I have a soul, Jeff has a soul, brother, everybody else has a soul, Mary has a soul. And these are eternal souls as well. And the cyclical concept is such that we don't actually belong here. As the little snippet that we heard from the website information, Subramanian, I think that was his name. That's a human being, and he was speaking. By the way, he's a neurologist in one of the best hospitals in Baltimore, Maryland. Yeah, and he initiates this program. He probably initiated the temple there, and he's also kind of a trustee for many of the other Hindu organizations. And so this is a neurologist, a medical scientist, who also believes in these things fundamentally for spiritual reasons. So the eternal soul of the whole cosmos, Brahman, and the individual soul, each of us are here individually as human beings, the best ever possible for the entire creation to exist in. There are animals, plants, etc., etc. So reincarnation means this is not our eternal home. The world is not our eternal home. We are here, in a sense, by biological accident, or in a very, very broad sense of the term, God put us here. But we have made our mistakes, and we just can't. And there's a lot of parallels to the Christian truth here. Parallels, not really the same thing. We are here by fate, they will call it. We would hate issues that word fate in our spiritual vocabulary. We are here by fate, and we are maximizing what we have here. The Upanayana procedure is one way of initiating us from ages 8 through 12, helps us remember in the Christian tradition, Lutheran tradition, confirmation time. And in the Jewish tradition, the Bar Mitzvah time. It's kind of the and if I may go on a tangent and say, evangelicals who are thinking of adult baptism should be able to make a decision to before you would be baptized, and then you've got all these parallels going on there. And broadly speaking, Christianity speaks about rebirth, broadly speaking. And these, the Hindu tradition also talks about rebirth, yet to live on the face of this earth, perhaps to come to your senses, to know who you are. And the video, as well as the narrator, was actually talking about a two-day ceremony. The father, the medical doctor himself, now plays the role of a priest. And then he obviously is from the Brahmin community, which is the top class of the Hindu religion, which consists of the priesthood. And he does this. And these folks know, just as anybody else, especially scientists, know that we are destined to die. And this Upanayana is, to use that word, sacred word, confirmation, liberally, that's a confirmation in the Hindu tradition. You have come of age, you have a responsibility to fulfill before the deity and in your household and in the world. That's kind of a dedication ceremony. That's actually what's happening there.
And he mentioned the spark of divinity that all Hindus believe dwell within a person. What is he talking about, their spark of divinity?
The closest we can actually come to in the Western tradition, philosophical tradition, is Gnosticism. There's a spark within us. The practical way the Hindu tradition explains this is the soul is everywhere. It's like who is able to actually see the air in the football or the tennis or golf ball. There is air there, but we just can't see it. And even if the air is outside a ball situation, we just can't see it, but we can feel it, hot air, cold air, et cetera, et cetera. So in the same way, the one, if there would be a source for the air, that would be Brahman. And these are individually encased in individuals, persons, and so on, i.e. as human beings, for example. And then when this soul leaves this body, which for them, in the Gnostic sense, literally in the Gnostic sense, is evil, then it's released. Unseen yet, and God, the Spirit in the Hindu tradition, is unseen. You got to feel him, know him, and there are different, in their tradition, there are different ways of approaching this God and experiencing and knowing him. And you're actually a spark of that. That brings in the perspective that the human soul is literally part of the eternal soul. That is also why, in this vein, the thought is that humans don't belong here. Where do they belong? They don't say heaven. They use the word nirvana, which also Buddhism uses. It is release. You get out of this space and be with where there would be no space, as we know, under the sun. And the spark is the, I think in practical sense too, it's a spark. There's the intentionality. There is that inner being that tells you that you're not doing things right, life is not going well, and you're actually working against your will in the cognitive sense of the word. You know things are not good here, so you need to get out of this. That's the spark. And without that so-called divine spark, what we call human beings would not have that sense. So it creates that tension. And then this will be another show. We have done this before too. And the reincarnation or the cyclical nature of things is practical even for a medical doctor. It makes sense to this kind of thinking because once we know that we are unable to be who we really are meant to be, you get a chance, a second or a third chance. You may be living here on the face of this earth 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, but you're destined to leave. And your next, you're not done. God, the deity is not done with you yet. You will be either rewarded or punished by the way you spend 100 years on the face of this earth. So the divine spark then, depending on how you performed in this existence, will reincarnate. If your deeds normally would be bad or did not make the cut, obviously you will be reincarnate in a subhuman form, such as animals. And there are levels of animals too, and so on. And then you work your way up. But this theory enables them to think of what we know as time in infinite way, so they can talk about time cyclical, because if it's linear, it has to have a beginning and an end, and if the reincarnation process has to continue and to make sense, and if humanity is vulnerable to sin, as we call it, mistakes and doing wrong, there is no way we can get out of this. One of the best levels of being on the face of this earth is to be human. And in very pragmatic way, animals can work their up to become human. So this is a confusing yet, for that kind of thinking, a reasonable way of thinking about it. So the spark, the individual spark, is a reminder for the individual that you are actually divine, but here now imprisoned in this existence, which causes you to do bad things, and also helps you to excel and maybe progressively achieve that the place where you needed to be, where you ought to be, which is Brahman himself or itself.
Dr. Victor Raj is our guest. We're talking about the Hindu practice of Upananyam. When we come back, we'll talk about the world's largest Buddhist temple being built in Thailand and get his thoughts on that. Then an update on the damage in Pilger, Nebraska, with Terry Macklin, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church there in Pilger. I'm Todd Wilkham. We'll be right back.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, "A changeless Christ for a changing world." While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
You know you want to be there. A pile of pastors, a mountain of musicians, a boatload of laity, all passionate about worship, gathered together on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Nebraska, this coming July, the 28th through the 31st. Comfort, comfort ye my people, preaching, praying, and singing the comfort of Christ to the troubled conscience and the broken heart. John Kleinick, Paul Solek, Betsy Werner, Brian Wolfmiller, Robin Lever, and the Stash himself, President Matthew Harrison. Oh yeah, and two other guys named Will. Wilkin and Whedon, along with a whole pile of your favorite Issues Etc. guests. Did I mention that the registration cost starts at just $175? Or that full-time students, including seminarians and deaconess students, pay just $25 registration? Yeah, seriously. I told you, you want to be there. For more information, click the link, Comfort Comfort, on the Issues Etc. homepage, issuesetc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We now have 7 Spanish language transcripts of Issues Etc. that you can download for free.
Ahora tenemos 7 transcripciones en español de Issues Etc. que se puede descargar gratis.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
Estas transcripciones cubren las 6 partes principales del Catecismo Pequeño de Lutero e incluyen una enseñanza que se llama ¿Por qué pasan las malas cosas?
Guests include Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, and Carl Fickenscher.
Los invitados incluyen Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, y Carl Fickenscher.
You can download and print these Spanish transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org and click Publications.
Se puede descargar e imprimir estas transcripciones en español gratis. Solo vaya a issuesetc.org y haz clic en publicaciones.
Critics question the intentions of the temple. They think that the primary intention is to raise money, to be big, to be global. They want the Dhammakaya temple to be like Mecca is in Islam, a global center. They want to bring Buddhists from all over the world.
That's Rachel Scott, associate professor and associate head of the Department of Religious Studies at the University of Tennessee, talking about the world's largest Buddhist temple being constructed in Thailand, the Dhammakaya. Well, you don't usually think of big, well, let's just, for lack of a better word, call it church buildings, big temples. When it comes to Buddhism, Buddhism seems to be a quietistic, not necessarily a proselytizing religion, but that seems to be changing, at least with respect to the movement there in Thailand. Dr. Victor Raj is our guest, Mission Professor of New Testament, Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and author of the book, The Hindu Connection, Roots of the New Age. Dr. Raj, talk a bit about the place, what actually happens in a Buddhist temple, how it plays a role in the life of the average Buddhist, and then we'll talk about what seems to be kind of a proselytizing movement in Buddhism in Thailand.
God, good question. And we are using categories that we are familiar and we are committed to in order to be trying to open a window for us to see how other religions behave and establish themselves. I was going to say conduct themselves, but I say behave. Because for these, what we now generally call Eastern religions, behavior is key. For us Christians, especially Lutherans and Catholics and so on, the weekend, it should be Sunday. Sunday worship is the climax of our faith demonstrated and confessed among fellow believers. That's what it is. Buddhists and Hindus do not come for a community of gathering of like-minded people worshiping the one God. They come for, that may be there in their spirit, but worshiping their God can be done and needs to be done individually. You have to come to your senses and do that on your own. When they come together in huge gatherings, in fact, as an excursus, I'm speaking from St. Louis, and 20 miles west of me, in what we call West County, north of Manchester Road on Vitamin Road, there is a Hindu temple. It took them 7 years to construct it. They claim to have 1,000 families. And they don't have a day of worship. People come there. In fact, they bring Sanskrit-speaking gurus. They are priests from India. And they do the whole thing in Sanskrit, call it Eastern Latin. So the whole thing is done. And 1,000 families, on a Saturday morning or a Friday or a Sunday afternoon when this priest does this ceremony, which is less than half hour long, if that much, and all he says is, three Vatican II. Yeah, Latin, Sanskrit, and few people know what it is. But he does the chanting and so on in less than half hour, then he leaves. And then if there are 1,000 families, members, maybe 50 people, 50 heads show up on that time. So congregational worship is not foundational for Hinduism. And Buddhism is a 4th century B.C. offshoot of Hinduism. Buddhism is. Buddha was born Hindu in India. And it was a revolutionary movement, Buddhism was. And then it began to spread because of an emperor of India some time ago, about his time, Buddha's time, who converted to Buddhism, and then he began to spread it. That's how it got to China and the far eastern places. Now there are over 300 million Buddhists, practicing Buddhists. And as the website Jeff sent me, it shows images of a Buddhist abbot, Nicholas. So this is that Indian or Thailand guy. This is an abbot. Nicholas, and we can talk about this, about religious syncretism that mixes even Buddhism and Hinduism and Christianity. It's all going on. But coming to the point here, this place in Bangkok claims to have space for 1 million people to gather. So put a dorm on top of the 1 billion people. It's 1 million people. It's impossible. They know this. And huge edifice is built. And I don't recall the exact amount of gold they put in. They have huge gold, not gold-plated, gold-made dorms for this worship places, a prayer place, and so on. They just the picture I'm looking at on the screen from this website is huge. It's lit. It's all yellow with gold, and monks they are dressed the typical Buddhist way. This is all happening in Hong Kong, and well, coming to the point, even more closer to the point, they don't claim to have a pope or somebody parallel to that. Dalai Lama is a politician as well as a religious leader, and this is Tibet, and that kind of a story. So this is all going on in religious sociology terms. This is an identity finder for the general public. Christianity is all in one place, headed by the pope. Role. So I believe from this construction of this huge temple, one of a kind, perhaps the world's largest Buddhist temple, they are building their own Vatican, if you will.
Dr. Victor Raj is mission professor of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and he's author of the book, The Hindu Connection, Roots of the New Age. Dr. Raj, it's been very kind of you to give us your time. Thanks for being our guest.
This is wonderful. It's a pleasure for me.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about the devastation from twin tornadoes that hit northeast Nebraska. Pastor Terry Makeland will join us. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Pilger, Nebraska. His church building and his parsonage, and it appears the entire town destroyed by these storms. We'll get an update on that damage with Pastor Terry Makeland right after this. Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.